Well, it's true. Today is my birthday. Yes, March the 8th is my birthday. So I'm going to tell you a little story, and maybe it helps, maybe it doesn't. I don't know, but I'll tell you what I went through. To start with, we did not celebrate birthdays very enthusiastically when I was a child. And the reason for that was my mother was part of a very fundamental religious group, and they didn't really celebrate Christmases because it was too commercial, didn't celebrate birthdays because you should have someone else being more important than you, and you know all that kind of occasionally, well, I'll judge it for the moment and call it serious nonsense. But throughout my life, I never really told people about my birthday. And when it was offered and found out that it was my birthday, I typically made it not very important and went away and didn't celebrate and so on. That's a preface to the story. Now, the story goes like this. When I was living in Western Washington a few years back, I found a way to go up to the elementary school into the first grade and tell stories I wrote myself and always performed them without reading anything. And, you know, it was utterly a wonderful time. I would go in once a week, sometimes twice. If I went back twice, I would go then on the second time back, I would go to the kindergarten, the 4 and 5 year olds. First grade is basically 5 and 6 years old, as I'm sure you know. But with the kindergartners, I only had a half an hour because kindergartners are very different at 4 and 5 than first graders. Kindergartners are like puppies. They go everywhere when you're trying to be with them and tell a story. If you're not really animated and right with them, then they are, you know, they go off pretty quickly. Their attention span is maybe 3 to 5 seconds. You know, they're very different than the first graders. So on this one day, I went into the kindergarten. Now, I went into this same school for 4 years. So I was pretty well known for being the old storyteller of the kids. And with the first graders, I got 45 minutes. With the kindergartners, I got 30 minutes. So that sets it up for you. So I'm in the kindergarten. And it is my birthday, but I hadn't told anybody, but somehow the first grade teacher found out that was my birthday, told the kindergarten teacher. And so at the end of the 30 minutes, and it's 3 o'clock and the bell's ringing, teacher calls me back as I'm heading to the door. And she says, wait, we heard it's your birthday. And so then she lined up all 22, I don't even know the number of them, 23 kids around me, and they sang a birthday song to me. At first, it was kind of cute, all these gentle, sweet, smiling kids singing happy birthday. At first, I just started to cry a little bit because it was so beautiful, so sweet, so tender. And then I started to cry a little more. And at the end of the song, because I was crying, all of them just rushed me at once, giggling and laughing, and all of them just, you know, wrapped around my midsection, front and back, and pressing in, and I lost it. I mean, I lost it. Something like a surge of a fountain? No, much stronger than that, much faster than lightning, but not harsh at all. This accumulative childlike rush went up from below and hit my heart. And it was like thousands of barnacles just fell off. And I started to sob. I mean, I just was as presently emotional, I think, as I've ever been in my life. It was just really personal. And the more I cried, the more they squeezed in. And the more they laughed, and the more they wouldn't let me. I literally had to kind of peel them off one at a time as they kept coming back, because it's now after 3 o'clock and I'm trying to get out of the room, and I know that they are too, and their children, their parents and their grandparents are usually waiting just outside the door in this little rural community to get them. But instead, in this case, because we're 5 minutes late, the parents, grandparents, teacher, principal, they're standing in the hallway. I open the door. I'm a slobbering, sensitive, emotional mess. And I head out into the hallway and I'm, whoa, and here I am, this sobbing, gnarly old man trying to push my way past these people just so I could turn down the hallway and get out the back door and go to my truck. I closed the door of my truck and I just sobbed. An intense, emotionally sweet, amazing, nurturing, loving, healing treasure to be simultaneously played with, cared about, loved by innocent children who are not your own all at once. What a wow. Whew. Ah. I just wanted to share that experience with you. If I could, I would share it literally. If I had telepathic skills of great significance, I would share that, because the beauty of what happens in that place. I put this picture up because this is Beckett. He's a dear friend of mine. And I mean, let's just be honest here for a moment. Who's sweeter here? Who's more beautiful? Okay, it's Beckett, right? Wait, this is what I need to become. Wow. Childlike, capable to sense and feel this, except I be a like a small child. Phew. I'm sorry, but this is what I mean. I can't do it. Try as I might, I can't do Beckett, right? But what a wonderful thing to try and do. But this is also about why lately I'm moving down into the roots of my family tree. And I know this is also a little bit for Julie, who responded to one of the previous recordings about go to the roots of the family tree and something like this. In the last 6 to 7 weeks, I've been striving to go upward and it put me down at the bottom. By that, I mean, I've been wanting to go with the ascending day length ascent to the divine, but it turned me and had me go to the bottom. By the bottom, I mean the bottom of the family tree roots. And I know intellectually that I need to go there with a feeling of thankfulness and gratitude for whatever the intrinsic genetic, social, emotional contribution my ancestors within the family tree have given into the roots of my nervous system, brain, neuron function. Yes, I mean that literally, that your ancestors are down here, not beneath you, but in reality, they are children. Now, I know that's not easy because I don't see anybody in my family tree like a child. Honestly, most of them have been difficult, painful, alcoholic, or this or that, or abusive or violent or incestuous or whatever they've been. They're, this whole plethora of my ancestors have not been easy. Maybe yours have had an easy time of it, but for three generations behind me, none of them had an easy time. I won't go into all the stories, but the reality is the difficult times produced a damaged psyche inside of each of them, and their attempts to not feel it produced their facade, their mask, their personality, and their addictions, and their violence, and their projections, and their pandering, and their bartering, and all the things that we do as humans to not feel the damaged parts of our own childhood. So the way I'm practicing it right now, and I'll let you know if it works, I'm going down to this part of me in this metaphor of image. I'm going down to my own roots, trying my best not to judge, but also trying to realize that inside of me, I have tens of thousands of little fragments of my psyche, my feeling, my health, my well-being, my happiness, whatever it is, all fractured and either hiding or actively progressing, all of them producing tens of thousands, perhaps millions of neurons, impulses to produce an attraction to a substance, a person, a reality, a posture, a biochemical makeup, all involved in suppressing or interrupting my own life force function. So I have tens of thousands of my own feral children running around inside of my own psyche that I need to bring back together again in some earnest, caring way. But in order to bring these wounded children out of my own personal dark forest, I need to have a feeling like the Beckett. I need to be childlike. I need to be willing not to punish them, yell at them, tell them to come here, don't do this, don't do that. To invite them with the innocence of my own heart. So for me, the opportunity to have the birthday song sung to me by children entering my own heart at least gives me a hint of the childlike quality that I need to learn to feel. So when you go through the family tree 1 month at a time, we're going through one of these roots every month until eventually it's designed to be simultaneously collective, and the qualitative experience needs to be innocent, sweet, gentle, simple, caring, embodied, feeling. So all of my feral children come back to my own intrinsic life force so I can actually feel more. Yeah, I know it's not easy to give thanks to your family tree when you realize their genetic and epigenetic contributions have been various forms of disease and suffering, and that we collectively have transmitted things the world around us. But if there's anything that needs to be forgiven, it's probably that. And eventually I need to recognize how much I've transmitted. I won't even use the repentant word on that, but it's something about that. Phew. Wow. So thank you for your patience. Gratitude, thankfulness. There's a lot of feelings that I am not good at feeling. Want to go a little younger. This is a picture of a friend of mine. No, I can't do it. I'm still practicing. I've got a long ways to go. But thank you for tuning in. See you again.